B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 105. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. He's great. It's Eunice. I love Jim. He's fantastic. It's funny because we were talking about coaches today, and just I love diving into the mind of a coach.
Yeah, and he's an all-around sports guy.
He's 4 for 5 for 5, right? Like,
yes,
he's a
he
big
is.
Time. He knows every sport, Jimmy. He was a great baseball player. He was a great athlete growing up.
And I think that goes a long way coaching. Obviously, you have to know the sport that you're coaching the most, but I think it does go a long way. It's like when somebody posted a photo of Michael Jordan in a baseball uniform as a kid, not as a Baron, but as a kid, and then also in his football uniform. And somebody said, this is what happened. Like, this is what you should do. You should not listen to people that say, focus on one single sport. You should play others, because the greatest of all time, not only in basketball, but maybe greatest athlete of all time, played all these sports growing up as a kid. And I feel like that goes a long way for coaching, too, to be able to talk about Jordan and how he must have handled things, not just on the court, but off the court as well. And you talk about striving for greatness with the players on your team that you're coaching. I think it does go a long way.
Did you see that LeBron said that during the lockout, the Cowboys offered him a contract?
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't see it?
No.
Yeah. He said the Cowboys offered him a deal. Come and play.
I remember that being a conversation. Could he play tight end?
Yeah. And he could have. And then he said the Cowboys. That's his favorite team, the Cowboys. Now, why isn't he a Browns fan?
It's a good question. I mean, he goes to Cleveland Browns games. He wears he's a bit of a fraud when it comes to rooting interest. Remember, he's a quote-unquote Yankees fan, but he was at the Cleveland World Series.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I guess it's, I don't know, does that come off as good? Like, hey, you're still repping the city you're from. I don't know.
Yeah. A little $3 billish.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Just a little bit. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Choose who we got on the line.
We got Charlie, Northeast.
Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
What's happening, child? What's
going on? I don't know. I'm staying with the coaches, man. How did Phil Jackson come off to you in this Last Dance documentary? You know, for me, I you know, a lot more respect for him dealing with the personalities of that team.
Yeah, I thought he was a brilliant guy. I was around him. I was in Chicago as a writer, and I got to spend some time around him and Riley. I thought Riley was always the best coach, but I'm with you. I thought Phil was amazing and brought back a lot of stuff I didn't know, how he dealt with these guys. And it was, like, bigger than basketball. He had a great staff. Like, he had Tex Winter and he had Dick Harder. But he was a brilliant dude. And he's real thoughtful, you know, child. Like, he was very a thoughtful guy. Understood that they needed space. They needed space.
I never knew he was into the real Zen master thing. You know, I didn't know that was, a real part of him.
Oh, big time. Yeah. No, he was big time. He was one of the big Sky Country dudes.
Yeah, but in talking with coaches earlier, you were kind of like real effusive in your praise for Gruden. I think he's a little overrated there. You know, talk about the quarterback that he had, you know, him and Wentz. And not too different stat-wise over their first couple years, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was going more as a defense of Gruden as an offensive mind.
Okay.
We were talking about comparing Doug and Gruden as who's the better offensive mind. So the Chunas said Doug, and he kind of, I don't say David disrespectfully, whatever. He was kind of, and I have a lot of respect for Gruden. And I don't think there's any comparison between Carr and Wentz, stat or no stats. I mean, Carr's got a noodle arm. He's a guy that throws the ball out of the backfield. But my only point is that a guy like Gruden, is a really is a bright dude, and we don't see it because we're not following them. You know what I mean?
True. Right, yeah, man. just the way Peterson, you know, you made a good point too. You know, the use of the tight ends, the way our offense flows. It's what is obvious for our offense to use. It just doesn't seem so obvious to Doug. You know, we hear about the 12 personnel, and it's, you know, it's not incorporated the way I think
we all thought. Yes.
It's not.
Charlie, yes. I guess, I don't know, was I expecting 2 months to have, like, more of a Gronk Hernandez kind of feel about it, where they were working the seams? Like, they don't, how much do they go vertical with the tight ends?
Well, it would help Wentz so much. It from him scanning the field as much, it keeps it in front of him. And I don't, you know, we're not putting Wentz in the best position if we're not, you know, using the tight ends like we expected.
I agree. I mean, I guess that's my problem when I think about Doug. And again, I think he's a better leader and a better coach, which ultimately is more important than he is as an offensive guru.
True.
Yeah. All right, do me a favor. I got to give you a couple games, all right?
Go for it.
The game of salutations. So I'm going to give you, from the dude region, I'll give you Guy. What's up, Guy? Versus Sport. What do you say, Sport?
What do you say, Sport? That's for a kid, you know? That's, you know, for the little guy walking to say, hey, what's up, Sport? Gotta go with Guy, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
you gotta go
with
Guy. Sport's too limited, you know, you can't use that, you know, an older fella, I guess.
I just remember what's his name? Gecko called him Sport. Well, he say Sport.
Yeah, nah. Guy's good with me.
All right, you got Guy. I'll give you one more. Are you ready? Kid versus Big Time. What's up, Big Time?
Kid, man. You don't use Big Time that much.
Right. All right. You got it. Hey,
what's up, Kid? You know?
Yeah,
what's up, Rose?
I agree with you.
You got to have that, you know, little streak to it.
Kid's the 5 seed. Big Time's the 12 seed. Guy was the 5 seed, and Sport was the 12 seed. So you got chalk.
Yeah, good.
Both.
They had to be out. They had to be out. They're done.
All right. Charlie, great call, man. Appreciate it, buddy. So, did you agree?
Yes. Yes, Kid. I like Kid. But I'm also a baseball player, so Kid is used.
I like Kid, too. I get that.
Kid's used on the baseball field.
I like Kid. I do like Big Time. Hello, what's going on, Big Time? Like, you know. It's got a flow to it.
Yeah. But I think Kid is not just baseball, now that I think about it. Kid is used like in sports in general.
Yeah, you're right.
So I go Kid. I mean, I say Kid about people that are older than me sometimes.
Yeah, without a doubt. How about this? Who at the Fanatic, in the history of your time at the Fanatic, used the word guy?
Oh, it's Eitan.
Yeah. Eitan was a big guy. We say guy.
Yeah, he's a guy, man.
Hello, guy. He was a guy. Guy was all the New Yorkers. Man, Connecticut, New York, those guys, they were always guy. Hey, guy. Oh, he say guy. Yeah, they were big with that.
Yeah, I use guy like I use dude sometimes. Cause. Like, yeah, dude. Yo, guy. Come on, man.
I don't use the guy. I don't like guy. That, again, that's from, because to me it was New York. Classic. Absolutely classic. Oh, my God. I got to tell you, I love the salutations. Let's go to, who we got?
Got Mark, Miami.
Mark in Miami. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, yeah.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, living on my deck.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, on the deck,
nice, right? You got a little relaxation is going on or what?
What else is there to do? Read and relax.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Hey, just trying to get through this.
So what you got, brother? What you got?
I was thinking, you know, while I was listening to the highlights of the game, you know, that was probably the greatest era in Philadelphia sports. If you think from 75 to like 83.
Yes.
I mean, every team was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Team was great. Like Phillies were buzzing around, right? That whole late 70s. And then they win it. Sixers, you know. Flies were great. And the Birds, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was probably our best era.
Yeah. I was hoping, and I'm still hoping, that the 20s, this decade, could top it.
I hope.
Is there a chance?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, the Sixers are close. The Phillies, I mean, you would hope they're close, but I don't. Yeah, well, I wonder. Look, that's the most depressing thing about this summer is I'm dying to see him. I think he's worth five games.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get rid of Klentak first, but step in the right direction with Girardi. Yeah. And the Birds are, you know, they're in, you know, they're I mean, they're buzzing around.
You know what really aggravated me about Dougie?
He had
a comment, and I'll tell you, and this just soured me on him. He was talking about Whiteside, and he says, well, he can't play because he doesn't know all the positions. Did you see Pete Carroll work Metcalf? And I'm not comparing the two.
Yeah.
You think he knew all the positions? He ran like three plays.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I mean, to me, you want a player to do what they can do, not what they can't do.
Yeah, and listen, you know what he's doing. I mean, he's because the kid can't play, and he's covering for the kid. So I kind of understand it, but ultimately, you're right.
I mean, let's be real. I mean, so he sacrificed the whole season not bringing in a guy who can catch the ball.
I know.
And Ward, you can say what you want about Ward, but he catches the ball.
He does. I mean, listen, Andrew's my witness. When Boston Scott came in the game in a mop-up, dude, they're getting blown out. I go, you know what? They should use him. I want to see more Boston Scott. It took them that long to figure out what the group of slop they had to play those kids. Come on.
Well, you know what I'm thinking with Scott, and I would have played him too. They're thinking, well, in pass protection, can he? I said, bro, the kid's a player. Say what you want, he's a player.
Yeah.
Don't put his body in front.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you.
So I don't know. But I like the Eagles. I love Wentz. I mean, I believe Wentz is a franchise quarterback, period.
I still do, too. I do. I agree with you. I do, too. I'll
tell you something. I always say this. When Dick Vermeil had Jaworski, and Jaworski at the time was really struggling, the team was struggling, fans were booing, and I'll never forget it on NFL Films. They happened to highlight this, and he pulled Jaworski over after he got sacked for like the eighth time in the game. He said, listen to me. I'll never jerk you. And that, to me, just changed Jaworski's whole mental outlook. He had a guy who wouldn't jerk him, who believed in him.
That's interesting. Let's get Jaws on and talk about that. That's interesting.
I want to know if that had an effect on Jaws.
I'll ask him. It's a great point that you bring up. I'll definitely ask him. You ready for a salutation game?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm going to go to the dude region. I'm going to give you the 6-seed Mo. What's up, Mo? Versus the 11-seed Ace. Yo, Ace. What do you got?
I'd rather have Ace.
Ace, the 11-seed, moves on over Mo. And then I'll give you one more. I'll give you, how about we do the 2-seed in the dog region. My man versus Captain.
Nah, my man. I mean, that was my nickname growing up.
Oh, man. My man's the best.
All right.
I'm rooting my man in that region.
You missed one, though, from my era, and that was Cuddy.
Cuddy. Wow, really?
Yep.
Cuddy.
Yep, cut from the same cloth. It wasn't derogatory to you. Even when you were mad at him, if he was your Cuddy, he was with you.
Wow, I like that, man. I like that, Mark. I might have to add it. I don't know if there's any room. I would have got rid of Slugger, put Cuddy in there. It's not bad. I like it. Thanks, Marky. Take it easy, brother.
That I agree with Ace. And the only reason why is because you're literally the only person, and I'm not from, you know, South Philly. You're the only person I've heard use the word Mo. Now, I'm not an Ace man. I would never use Ace. But I've never heard Mo other than you.
Yeah, you guys, yeah. It's South Philly. Mo, Bo, at South Philly.
Like, I've heard Mikey Miss say it to you. Right? But it's always been you were associated. Yeah, whether you were saying it or someone saying it to you.
Mike will tell you. Holmes, all those names, they all come from where I, you know, growing up.
Right, but I've heard Holmes elsewhere.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't hear Holmes. There's no way in the world. Nobody was using Holmes until back in the day when I was on the air. We used to call, because that was like a back in the day, you know, Holmes. That was back. Homie was different than Holmes.
I've definitely heard, even in TV shows and movies, I've heard Holmes.
Well, that was old. It was old school. Holmes was old school.
Yeah, but I've heard Holmes.
Holmes was really more African American back in the, like that. It started back in the day. More black neighborhoods or homes.
Right. But I
just remember it like from the city. Like, and then we started, like, then I was joking around because my buddy Bobby always used homes, like forever. Even when nobody was using homes, he would always still use homes. And then I started on the air and I would call Mike Holmes and he liked it. Then he would start saying homes too. That, I mean, that's the genesis, at least around here. You know.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, I've heard it elsewhere other than, like, I've literally only heard Mo and Bo with you and when, like, somebody says it to you. So that's why, like, Holmes
South
is like.
Philly, like, it's a South Philly. I don't know. It's like, that's a South Philly thing.
Right.
So I don't know, you know. What about Bones? I got Bones in here. If you're Bones?
Yeah, I've heard Bones.
You're Bones. Mr. Bones. My cousin and I call each other Mr. Bones.
Really?
Yeah, what's up, Mr. Bones? Yes, I'll call him up, Mr. Bones. That's exactly how we'll say it. Now, we do it off of our friend Vinny Bones, who we love. But the Bones thing was always, what's up, Bones?
This is the greatest Field of 64 ever.
Is it not? It's the best, right? The salutations, the best. I love it. All right, take a quick TO. We'll talk a little uncles. The uncles, they're old school guys. Like they know the Mo Bo thing, like from back in the day type of deal. They are the greatest. Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. When it comes to your vehicle right now, they're open. And here's the deal. You say big. First of all, say like amazing deals going on right now. Amazing deals. But if you look at online, go to familyautos.com and you can build your own vehicle. You fill your paperwork out at home, whole thing, right? You finance it, get it all situated, and then they'll deliver your new vehicle. Deliver your new vehicle right to your driveway. Deliver it to your doorstep like it's a pizza. Amazing. And there's service departments open, parts department open. They service all makes and models. Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul, Family Christian Dodge Jeep Ram, they're right there, Airport Auto Mall, right near the Schuylkill, right near 95, all the bridges. They're the best. When I tell you the best, they are the absolute greatest people. You will fall in love. And the deals right now are ridiculous. I mean, you got to check it out. Go to familyautos.com. Don't forget. They family is what it's all about with those guys, all right? So they want to wish you safe and secure and happiness and make sure that they can't wait to see you soon. Just go to familyautos.com and see the uncles for details. The offers end right now at May 31st, 2020.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Two on this May 20th. ready for a little holiday weekend. Looking forward to it. I want to send our best wishes out to Matthew. His dad, Carl, is going through it right now at the hospital. And very difficult time. So we want to give our prayers, send our prayers to Carl, who's very ill, and Matthew, who's one of our listeners, great text board guy. So I want to wish him well during this time. Very difficult time when we're losing loved ones during this pandemic. And it's tough because you can't spend time with them.
Right. You know? And it's all scary, man. It is.
It is. And just always be mindful that sometimes we get rambunctious and, you know, we're ready to get out. Just, you know, got to do the right thing. And then soon enough. All right, Tunis poll. What is the poll of the day?
The poll of the day brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com today. On at 9:75 middays, we did the Doug and Wentz poll, and it was, who do you have more confidence in when it comes to the Eagles' offense? And of course, I had to specify Doug Peterson playing calling plays, whereas Carson Wentz having more freedom at the line, example, Peyton Manning. And Carson Wentz, 69.4% of the vote. Doug Peterson, just 30.6.
Wow. Wow. I agree. I agree with you. I do. I agree with it. I think they're right on.
Yeah, it's hard for me to answer this one because, I mean, you've heard me. We've talked about it in the past. I want the Eagles to go more up-tempo. So for the Eagles to go more up-tempo, obviously the ball's in Carson's hands and the calls are in his mind. Now Doug can radio into the helmet, but for the most part, it's Carson Wentz seeing things at the line and making changes. And with the read option thing, it's, all right, here's two plays. You decide whether you want to run the ball or throw the ball. And I don't know, I kind of think that holds Carson back, and I think Carson at the line can do a lot of great things, so I would probably lean toward Carson, but as you've heard me talk about it today, I still think Doug Peterson has a pretty good offensive mind, not genius, not the best in the league.
You still haven't answered what he does well. I gave you the run game. I tried to help you make your argument. But you didn't even give me anything that he does well.
Because it's hard for me to say when he had such turnover in the roster last year with guys going down. It's real.
And part of it was his own fault because he couldn't recognize that he had a little bit of talent in those
Greg
kids.
Ward. Yeah, no, you're right. But I don't know. Part of it is how can he go so deep into his playbook when he doesn't have a deep threat because he has to go to Nelson Aguilar, and Nelson Aguilar has nowhere near the speed of DeSean Jackson. And then when he does get open, he doesn't track the ball well. He can't catch it. We know all about the drops. We know all that kind of stuff. So I feel like he was strapped a little bit with what he could call because of the. But there were.
What did he do? That's good. I answered the question. It's a blanket question. When we talk about him as an offensive mind, I give you play design. I don't see anything special to you.
I think he does some good things with the tight ends, but it's a tight end only offense.
Tight ends are disappointing. We were talking to with the one caller, and he was dead right. You're disappointed that he didn't go vertical with his tight
end. Yes.
Okay. So obviously that's not good.
But I think he's also strapped with what he has on the outside or doesn't have on the outside.
Oh, God. You're making an argument without anything to buttress it up.
But how? If when he has no DeSean.
I just gave you. I buttressed your argument by giving you the running back. He's running. I think he understands that he can run the ball, and he tries to establish the run, and he never gets too far away from the run. Even there are times when they go, well, I'll pass. I think Doug does a really good job at making sure he runs the ball.
At least 65-35, right, or 60-40.
His four-minute offense is really good. now I'm making an argument. You haven't given me an argument. I gave you plenty of time. He does some good things with tight ends. And I tell you, really, because he disappoints me with the tight ends. They don't go vertical.
Yeah, but I also see, look at what Zach Ertz has done in his career. In the last couple of years, been under Doug. He's had great years under Doug.
Are you kidding me? He does ins and cuts. It's 7-yard pitch and catch.
Yeah, which should help open up other things on the field, but he doesn't have players on the outside.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
He doesn't have an oil on the outside.
He doesn't get anything. You don't get credit because Zach Ertz could catch a 7-yard in.
But when he's only had Zach Ertz and Miles Sanders and gets the playoffs.
I just got done telling you, how come with Ertz and Goddard, there's no vertical in that offense?
That's a good question, but I also don't. None of them are the athletic freak like Aaron Hernandez was.
Oh, my God. Dude, come on. Goddard can go down the middle. So can Ertz. They can run seam routes. Dude, I'm sorry. I love you. Check and mate. You got nothing. The only argument you had was what I gave you. Because his play calling, you had already admitted, wasn't good. His feel, you already admitted, wasn't good. And his play.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. There are moments where I roll my eyes, though.
Okay. That's the point. He doesn't do it. It's not great. To be a good offensive mind, you got to do those things. And you admitted that your boy missed Reich and DeFilippo.
Yeah, I think he did.
You're not good in the red zone.
But that was also Alshon Jeffrey of 2017, Torrey Smith and Carson Wentz healthy and all this kind of stuff.
Violence. Give me a break.
I want to see when he has a legit roster what he can do.
You talk about excuses, man. You made all kinds of excuses.
I want to see what he can do with a legit roster. The way the bill is of Jalen Reagor, he has a legit deep threat now.
But the point is, the whole point of this conversation is, you said he does things well, and he hasn't. He doesn't illustrate. Now, I'm not saying he's a dunce, but he's not a top 10 offensive mind in football. So, you know.
You don't think he's in top 10?
No. Offensive mind? That includes offensive coordinators in that, too. No. But again, like I've told you before, he's a terrific coach. Like, he's a top 10 coach without being a top 10 offensive mind because his guys play for him. You could be a top 10 offensive mind but be a subpar coach because you can't disseminate. You can't, guys don't listen to you. You got the Chip Kelly gene. You don't translate. And sometimes those guys are stuck as coordinators because they can't lead men. Doug can lead men. It's why he's an upper third of the league coach. You see the difference?
Yes, I could see the difference.
All right. Who knows? Maybe he'll have some luck in the passing game, and you can tell me how smart he is as a passing genius. Listen, I hope you're right. Again, I like the guy. I mean, I'm not, you know, again, by me saying he's an upper third coach, I don't know. I think that's a compliment. Is it not?
Yes.
All right. I think that's fair. I mean, I'm trying to be, I like the guy. A lot of things I think I already deemed being a leader and a personable man is greater than symbol, you know, offensive guru. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas hanging out with you. Let's talk about Philly sports trips. Chunas, you know what was going on? You know what we're doing now? You weren't here when I told you the new details for our trip to San Francisco.
Oh, what do we got?
So, you know, Chunas and I are going to San Francisco on October 4th to see Eagles Niners. All right? And this trip, oh my. Last year we did the booze cruise in the Miami for the Miami game. It was awesome. And on Sunday, you know, the game at tailgate, Cavs catering is unbelievable. Vince and his wife Liz, they do it up. We're going to go. We're going to be staying right in the middle of San Francisco downtown, just a couple minutes from the water. And we're going to go on a yacht with the view from Alcatraz. How about that? You ready for that trip, Judas?
I'm in.
In the yacht?
I'm in.
You're a yachtsman. Yeah, I can see you being a yacht. You're a Brigantine Kate. You're a yacht guy. That's what we're going to be doing. Check it out. They have all kinds of great stuff, man. They do things the best. And they're doing Lambo. Who knows? We may go to that, too. PhillySportsTrips.com is the place to be. PhillySportsTrips.com. And don't worry, if something happens, all your money will be go toward another trip. If something happens with fans or the trip itself with the pandemic, don't worry about it. Again, it'll be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to this. We're gonna have a blast. Make sure you're a part of it, all Birds fans. We're gonna get nuts. So go to PhillySportsTrips.com for the details.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Dude, did you see this? Paul Pierce? I gotta share this with you. He says LeBron is not a top five player of all time.
Okay.
Paul Pierce said that. Wow.
Who is he putting in front of him?
I don't know.
I'm guessing he's putting the big man in front, too.
My man Danny sent it to me on the text board.
What is he doing? Michael. And then, what, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain? And two other players? Like, I don't know. To me, LeBron's two.
Oh, my God. I mean, Paul Pierce, why would he say that? Yeah, how could he not be top five? I just texted it to you. It might be too late to be able to play it. But I guess that's a shocker to me. Right? Here, do a game. You want to do a game?
Yes, I'm in.
All right.
And Mikey Miss may have heard the five that he had in front of him.
Oh, yeah? What'd he say?
It was Jordan, Russell, Kareem, Duncan, and Bird.
He's got Duncan and Bird ahead of LeBron? I mean, what did he say? Jordan, Kareem, Russell?
Jordan, Russell, Kareem.
All right. Well, the Russell thing, he's brainwashed from being in Boston. You know, I don't know how you make the argument that era and all nonsense, whatever.
Oh, sorry. We're getting corrections. It was Magic and Kobe, not Duncan and Bird ahead of LeBron.
Magic and Kobe ahead of Bron, huh? Wow. That's Paul Pierce. Check that out. What's Mikey's response?
Can't.
Did he say Paul Pierce, your sister's ass?
Yeah, we'll use that one. And not what he actually said.
Your sister's ass.
But I don't disagree with what Mike was saying.
I love that one. It cracks me up. Are you ready? Let's go Yo versus Sarge.
Yo, and it's not even close.
I know. Well, I figured we take care of the easy ones, right? Let me give you a good one. Let me give you, someone I want to say for the audience. How about, pal? Pal versus Home Skillet?
I'm going to go Pal.
Oh, that's
I'm in on Home Skillet, but Pal wins.
I got Home Slice and Home Skillet are both in that region.
Yeah. The Skillet's got home sent home. They never even unpacked when they got to the hotel, to be honest.
What, the Skillets?
No, they didn't unpack.
I don't know why I love... Why do we love this so much?
Because it's different. Totally different.
It's what we, like, you know...
It was organic. Like, we literally just... I don't know how many... We just sort of started it.
Came out of what's-his-face?
Orlovsky.
Yeah,
he said Bud. VG texted you saying, wow, Orlovsky's a Bud guy. I said, I don't like Bud unless it's, like, to a child. And then we went over some of the disrespectful salutations, and then here we go. We have 64 of them now.
Yes. Well, they're not all...
They're not all disrespectful.
No, yeah, they're basically out of love. Some are used as disrespectful, but they're all used out of love.
Yes.
Right? All those... It's a salutation. Now, you could negatively use a salutation, but a salutation is a salutation.
Yes. Can't believe you put up my hoss against fam. You know that's not going to win around here. Hoss.
I did that on purpose.
I know you did.
I did that.
I would vote fam.
Would you really?
Yeah, I only use hoss in a negative way.
It's terrible. It's not Philadelphia. Hoss. Again, if we were doing a show in Oklahoma, look at the Oklahoma kid. If we were doing the show in Oklahoma, I'd say, all right. Horse it is. Wrangler, or whatever the hell they call each other. What's up, Wrangler?
Is that a car?
I don't know. But, man, again, we do the show in Philadelphia. So, horse. All right, ESPN came out with its top five starting fives. The bracket of starting fives for every team, which is pretty awesome. Why is it basketball? Basketball is perfect for that, for this kind of stuff. You know that?
Yes, because it's five. It's easier when there's only five on a court.
Right. It's five. It's positions, and it just works.
You go 53-man roster.
Who'd they go for Sixers? Do you have it?
Off the top of my head, it was Iverson, Hal Greer, Dr. J, Charles, and Wilt.
Hal Greer?
Yes, as the two guard.
I'm out on that. All right. Mikey Miss is up next, and our handoff is brought to you by Philadelphia Shoulder Center. Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center, specialized care for all hand, wrist, elbow, shoulders, injuries, and conditions. Visit PhiladelphiaHandToShoulderCenter.com. Everybody, stay tuned for Mikey. Thank you for listening. Have a great, great day. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.